Book of Mark, chapter 4. I have studied this passage of Scripture for years. And like a lot of pastors, teachers, you look at a particular scripture and become very narrow. Well, hi, David. Let's give David a hand. We very narrowly focus on a subject. And of course, my introduction to the concept, the idea of the word being sown as a seed goes back many, many years. And for many, many years, I just simply associated it with a seed of the Word of God, rightfully so. But in terms of a narrow perspective on particular issues like healing in particular, or some other seed of the Word that you sow. And of course, as my understanding of this began to grow, I began to realize that it doesn't matter what kind of seed you sow, every seed that you sow has life in it. Amen. And obviously there are different seeds. You got apple seeds, tomato seeds, you got pumpkin seeds, you got watermelon seeds. And all those have a life inherent from that source that if you plant them, it's going to grow another seed. It's going to grow a harvest from those seeds that are sown. And I don't know if you're like this. I think you are, but I think all of us are like this, which is we get locked into a particular. Well, let's see. It's kind of like, well, we know what the Scripture says, so we take. Well, let's see. I need that today, Lord, and last week I needed that. And the week before that, I needed that. And we kind of pick and choose from God what we need. And we pray. And excuse me. Thank you. In view of that mindset, we're basically sowing the seed. And we're wanting to get a harvest of healing, harvest of finances, a harvest of peace, whatever you may be needing. And it's not that that's wrong, but I've begun to see it over the last several months that I've been looking at this subject out of Mark chapter 4, and I've been in this much longer than we've been teaching on it, is that Jesus is talking about far more than praying a prayer, filling it with seeds of the word in your prayer, and then believe you're going to get back an answer, a harvest of those particular seeds. I'm going to sow a healing seed today, and I'm going to pray that prayer, and I believe that I'm going to sow that seed, and eventually God's going to give me a healing harvest. Okay, and we've kind of connected it with those things. And what the Lord's been dealing with me about in this particular study is getting us to understand that what he said in verse 11 is really critical. It's really critical to understanding what Jesus had to say. And he's really teaching about the kingdom of God. He's not teaching about getting answers to prayer. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 11, he said to them, "Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." And that statement was in response to them after he had given this in verses 3 through 9, he had given the parable of the sower sowing the seed, and then they were wondering, why would he speak in parables? What was the whole purpose for that? And Jesus explained to them that he wanted to put it in terms that they could understand. That's really what he came to do. He wanted to make give us understanding of his purpose. And then, but verse 13 really just a massive, if you will, disclosure of what he's about to say, which is, know you not this parable? If you don't understand what this parable is, how then will you know all parables? And Jesus was putting right out there in front of them, if you don't understand this parable, you probably won't understand any of them. And so, as a teacher of the word, I've got a responsibility to make sure the people that I speak to understand that Jesus was talking far more than just answers to prayer. But he was talking about literally the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, that opens up a whole new Pandora's box, if you will, which is that we are most of us, I should say, are really connected with tangible things. So when we hear the phrase, the coming of the kingdom, that's when Jesus comes back, that's when he's going to whoop up on the devil and make everything the way we hope it to be for eternity, and we're going to live with Jesus forever. Hallelujah. Well, that is going to happen. He is coming back. Hello, I said he is coming back. Okay. The first time he comes back will be to rapture the church out of this mess. Then tribulation will be poured out upon the earth. And while tribulation is happening here on earth, we're going to be up there in heaven with the Father, with Jesus, celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then Revelation 19 says that we're coming back with him. He's coming back on a horse. And he's going to be arrayed as a king. And he's going to have a sword that's going to proceed from his mouth. And he's going to destroy, and it's the rhema of God, I might add. He's going to destroy the Antichrist and all of his kingdom. And he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Well, what John said is behind him coming on that white horse is the church. We're going to be behind him. So we're coming back with him. And then John says in Revelation 20, we're going to live, rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's pretty cool. Hello. I'm excited about that because I'm going to be part of that army. Hello. And we're not going to fight. We're just going to follow him. He's the one. He's not going to fight. He's just going to open his mouth and destroy powers of the devil. So to many of us, we're no different than the Jews were of Jesus' day. Because you see, for thousands of years, hundreds and decades, centuries, they had been preaching, the prophets had been preaching that Messiah was coming. And when he came, he's going to bring with him the kingdom. And when he came, they were going to overthrow all dominating powers, and they were good, and David's kingdom was going to be established. And of course, it was Isaiah who prophesied that the Son of David was going to come, and David's kingdom would be established forever. That's a pretty big promise. Pretty exciting to these guys. And when Jesus shows up, where's the kingdom? I mean, there's one. You got 12 guys that are following you around here. We're not too impressed with them. Where's the kingdom? Can you understand their questioning? I mean, that has been preached into the mindset of Israel for generations. And Jesus shows up, and he's giving them parables about a kingdom that they can't figure out. And then they ask him, we need some help here. Jesus said, you know what? If you don't understand what I'm saying about the kingdom, you're probably not going to understand anything that I teach. As I was meditating on that statement, I began to realize that that's why there are so many factions in the church today. Because we've got somebody running with this revelation, got somebody else running with that revelation, and this one over here is teaching this, and that one's teaching that, and that one's teaching this, and that one's teaching that. And you got all these people, well, this is the revelation of how it's all going to happen. And I'm convinced that somewhere we've missed it. Jesus came to introduce the kingdom of God. And the kingdom that he was introducing was just not quite what they had figured out. How many have ever been aware of the fact that somebody was bringing you a gift related to a want-to you had, and before they got there, you had it all figured out what the gift was going to be like, how you were going to use it, how it's going to enhance your life, how it's going to be everything you could probably hope for to make you happy, at least for a day. And when you got it, it was totally different than what you expected. Can you identify that? And that's what happened here. What Jesus brought to these people was totally different than what they expected. They were expecting a physical overthrow of every oppressing power that had brought bondage into their lives. And Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm introducing the same kingdom that will overthrow all oppressing powers upon you. But right now that kingdom is not coming in that kind of a way. Right now that kingdom is coming as a spiritual reality that I want to sow on the inside of your hearts. Now, how many would be honest enough to say that when well, let's just bring it home here to Living Waters Chapel. I mean, we've talked about some pretty big things that God wanted to do through this ministry over the years, haven't we? And of course, we're looking around today and we're not seeing a whole massive amount of people. Hello? And we all come to a service with a predisposed mindset of what we would like to see happen. We'd like every person that's here that has any kind of physical issue in their body to be healed. Would you like to see that? And if there's anybody here that hasn't surrendered their life totally to Jesus, to just totally surrender everything and just have a radical change in the way they live, and every marriage that's got any kind of marital stress going on within the relationship to be totally healed, I mean, you name it, and we all would love to see those things take place, wouldn't we? Amen. And how many when we come and go, well, didn't happen today. What if that preacher knows what he's talking about? Look at somebody and say, I've asked that question. Well, you won't. I won't ask you to admit that. And what we do is we come to our services or any other services we may attend with a whole prescription in our minds. Here's what we want to see take place. And Jesus had the same problem. He came preaching a message of the kingdom. What did he say? The kingdom of heaven is right here. Now, at that point, the kingdom was resident within the person of Jesus Christ. He hadn't entered into anybody else yet because Pentecost hadn't taken place. So when Jesus says the kingdom of God is right here, what he was saying is, I'm the kingdom. I'm here. If you let the words that I'm speaking radically change your life, the sphere or the realm of the kingdom will have an impact upon your life. But until that time, I'm it. Everybody say, Jesus is it. Jesus is it. He is it. But he had the same problem then that he has today. How many believe in your heart? You don't have to raise your hand, it's a rhetorical question. But how many of you believe in your heart that when you show up at this place, Jesus is here? He says that if two of you gather together in my name, I will be where? In the middle of that, right here. And he says further, he says, if two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For two or three are gathered together, okay? Now, the word done, I've said this 100 times, but the word done is the Greek word genomai, which means to call into existence something that didn't exist before. It's a word that's used to describe the creative power of God. So really what he's saying, if two of you are gathered together in my name, you agree upon the same thing, I will cause a creative miracle to take place in your midst. That's a pretty cool promise, isn't it? I'll take that promise. And Jesus had the same problem then that we have today. Because John the Baptist, everybody know John? Pretty cool guy. Kind of a radically thinking person. He didn't really fit into the mold of anybody to be a minister of God. He kind of challenged people, challenged their thinking. And he said he was in jail. He was in prison. And he sent his disciples. And he says, go ask Jesus if he's the one or should we look for another? Now, I want you to grab the context of that. Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. John the Baptist was about 6 months older than Jesus was. He was born 6 months before Jesus was. Now it's totally within my mind's ability to conceive that they had interaction with one another's lives as they were growing up. No, in my mind, just totally, I just that's not difficult to believe. And then it was John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus coming to where he was baptizing, what did he say about him? Huh?
This is him.
This is him. He's, and who is him? The Lamb of God that did what? Takes away the sin of the world. How could that statement reflect anything less than John believed that Jesus was not just his cousin, he was literally the Son of God? He further said, I'm not even worthy to undo the latches on his sandals. But there's one that's coming after me who will not baptize you with water, but will do what? Baptize you with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and with fire. In other words, in my estimation, John had a revelation of who Jesus was. I don't doubt that in my mind at all. But now he's in jail. We don't know how much time has elapsed between that moment and the moment that he sends his disciples to Jesus. But what does he ask? Are you the one? Or do we look for another? Think about that. Are you the one? Or do we look for another? In other words, I really expected you to do something different. I expected it to be different than what it's been. I expected this, that, and the other. We know at least one thing he expected was Rome to be overthrown and Israel to be established as a world power again, and that Jesus would sit on the throne, and boy, just wow, it would be Messiah on earth. And it just wasn't that way. So what did Jesus require of John to do? Consider, here's what's happening. He said, the word is being preached, people are being healed, the dead are being raised, and those who are poor in spirit are receiving the prosperity of the kingdom or the message of the kingdom. And then what did he say? I remember what the last thing he said. Huh? Blessed is the one who is not offended in me. You see, I hear people all the time telling me how frustrated they are because what they wanted God to do didn't happen. I hear that very frequently, very often. Now, what they're telling me is, they're not admitting that to themselves or to me, but what they're telling me is they're really upset with God because they did all the right things, they prayed all the right prayers, they said all the right words. They acted in the way they thought they were supposed to. And nothing happened. Everybody say, Pastor, I know you're not talking about me. Okay, you can all relax now. Okay. What am I saying? I'm saying we do the same thing that John the Baptist did. We do the same thing that all the people did during the time that Jesus walked the earth. We expect things to happen a certain way because that's what we prescribe for God to do. And God doesn't always move the way we think that He should move. Now, I'll be honest with you folks, I've got a great plan for God. I've had that plan for years. And all of you have had plans for God for your life and for your spouses and for your children and for all the things that go on here. We all do it. It's natural because we're always forward-thinking people. We have a problem today. We talk to God. You're not asking God to change the past. You're asking God to change the present and the future. We're forward-thinking people. Hello? But what happens is forward-thinking people can become very frustrated because their forward-thinking is limited by their perspective and not God's. And when you put God in a box, you can be sure He's going to jump out of your box. He's not going to move just the way you think He should. He's going to do things His way. And what did so what does Jesus do? Jesus starts talking about a kingdom. You'd think if he's talking about a kingdom, the best thing to do would be to display the kingdom. We're not looking for words, preacher. We're looking for action. What did Paul say? The kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. Yes! So we throw that lasso on about every preacher in the country. Okay, buddy, you talk it, prove it. And it's like, wait a minute, it's not my kingdom. It's not my kingdom. I said, it's not my kingdom. This is not Solomon's church. Not my church. Church belongs to the Lord. Amen. not my kingdom. Now we could put a sign out here by the driveway. The kingdom of God. And everybody came here, they know they would enter into the kingdom of God. But that won't work, you know that, right? But just because you put up a sign doesn't mean that God's going to honor that sign. Now there are some denominations that literally believe that when Jesus comes back to the earth, he's going to set up his personal kingdom in their headquarters. He really isn't, but that's what they think. The kingdom of God is where God rules. That's where the kingdom of God is. Now here's something interesting for you to think about. The kingdom of God rules around the world, but doesn't rule everywhere. You know what I'm saying? He rules where he's invited. What's the great prayer that that Jesus gave us? He says, may your kingdom come. May your will be done where at? On earth as it is in heaven. That was his prayer, not ours. That was his prayer. He told us to pattern our praying after that. Which is to say then, that the kingdom of God enters where it is invited. With the kingdom comes a set of rules and regulations that are authored by God, not us. If we could learn that simple truth and let that sink down in our hearts, it would ease the pain and frustration and take our minds off of things and get our minds on Jesus. We wouldn't look at empty pews. We would look at the people who are in the pews. I spent enough time in this place. This is my prayer closet. I got the biggest prayer closet in the church. And when I'm in here, these pews are empty. You know what I'm saying? So my eyes are focused on a lot of mauve. And it's not marvelous, I tell you. Get it? And when you start coming in here, I'm looking for more people than mauve. And I don't always see that happen. And so I have to, you see, I'm down there worshiping, so I don't see all that stuff. God bless the worship team. They get to look at it. But when I come up here to share the word, I see a lot of mauve. It would be nice not to see any mauve. But you see, that's my prescription. That's my plan. I had an opportunity to speak at our convention down earlier this week, and one of the things I said there is you got to remember it's all a matter about control, and it's his control, not ours. The outcomes belong to God; they don't belong to us. Amen. And the sooner we relinquish the demand for things to be my way, the more at peace I will be, because I'm not saying I don't care how things turn out. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter to me whether the pew is full or empty. What I'm saying is that I'm turning my attention off of what I want and getting my attention on to the person who really counts, and his name is Jesus. Now, every one of us, you see, we all go through this problem. Your problem is, you don't get up every Sunday and tell us about what your problem is. So you all know, you think you know me like a book. You don't. What you know is what you hear on Sunday mornings. Just let them talk it right now. But see, you got your own problems. You got your own issues. You got your physical health. A lot of you are dealing with it at this age. Lot of you are dealing with what do I do about tomorrow, because you know I'm living on that fixed income. What do I do about the kids because they're not all serving God like I've always wanted? What do I do about my grandkids because they're my legacy? I mean, we can just go on and on and on. You see, you've all got issues just like I do. It's just that I express mine more than what you do. Now, if we all took turns, let's say we'll have Russ next Sunday come up here and preach. And he can tell us all about the frustrations and anxieties that he goes through with his business. I mean, everybody in the county is running to his office asking him to list their houses, and he wants to sell them because he's becoming the richest person in the church.
I'll receive it.
You what?
I'll receive it.
You'll receive that. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, all of us have an issue, a focus in our life. And we have a prescription we lay out there before us. God, this is what I want. Now, here's the frustration. We know the scripture says that if we will delight ourselves in God, he will do what? Huh?
Give us the desires of our heart.
Huh, there it is, God. You put yourself in a box, God. You got to do it now, God. God says, wait a minute, that's not what I said. I said, delight yourself in me, not my presence. Not my gifts. In me. Delight yourself in me because of who I am, not because I'm going to heal your marriage, heal your body, take care of your money, take care of your kids. That's not what it's about, folks. It's about you and me. Me and you. It's about us and God. That's really what it comes down to. Now, God wants to take care of all these other issues in our lives. God wants to release in our lives the power of his kingdom and the display of his power. But it comes down to the fact that it begins with us individually. In other words, as it relates to Living Waters Chapel, it's not my ballgame. Every one of us that are sitting in this place this morning can't point a finger at another person in this place and say, if you do whatever you do differently, our service would be different. Not one person could do that. If you do, you're taking on the spirit of the accuser. And he's divisive. And he's destructive. What we need to do is say, okay, God, before we get to this place, that is, okay, God, I'm going to gather in the place of worship this morning, and I'm going there to worship you, and whatever you want to do, I'll take it.
Amen.
And I'm not going to expect you to do what I want. I'm going to expect you to do what you want.
Amen.
Now you see, Jesus uses the illustration about the seed being sown, and it's really wonderful what he says. He says the first thing you need to remember is that when the seed is sown, it automatically starts growing. In other words, you can't stop it from growing. You don't have enough power to keep the seed from growing. Nobody does. He says it grows automatically. Now, what I want to define for you for a moment, what is the seed of the word? The seed of the word is the Spirit of God influencing your mind. That's where it starts. It starts as an influence in your thinking. How many would admit that you've heard at least over your lifetime a few commercials that just they got you? Commercials that they just got you. It got you. I don't care where you were. Just a million things would remind you of that commercial. Can you admit that? I do. The ones that usually get me are the music ones. And of course, sometimes there are some of them are so stupid you can't get those out of your mind. But you see, the commercial sows a seed in your mind. Now, what keeps that thing alive is the influence that it has upon your mind, the way you think. You see, every commercial doesn't get everybody. You know that, right? They call it marketing. Okay? They decide who they want to reach, and they design a commercial with interest. They think that age group, or they call it demographic, would have, and then they make their commercial, and sure enough, it works. It's a science that really works. Works well. And we need to understand that the whole purpose behind that is to draw me from where I'm at into a mode of thinking that everywhere I go, I'll be reminded of that commercial. Not only by what it said, but I'll see we'll be reminded at the grocery store. I mean, how many of you mothers, when you went to buy cereal for your kids, could walk down and have about four or five commercials going through your brain? And so what did you do? You picked up a box of cereal that was pretty well connected with that commercial you heard. Am I making sense here? You see, God works the same way. Or that works the same way that God does. Put it that way, God originated it. Is it? He influences our thinking. Now, we don't understand how that works. We just know that it does. Your mind is such an awesome, awesome thing. It's just so, your mind is as broad as the universe. Did you know that? We're here in a little town of Carroll, Michigan, and we can think about as far away as planets. Well, the Hubble Space telescope. I mean, looking, our minds can go that far. Billions and billions and trillions of miles away. So your mind is an awesome thing. And we need to understand that God's kingdom comes into our life the very same way. An idea of words, a teaching of words, strikes our mind, begins as an influence, and begins to seep on the inside of us. And Jesus compared it in one way to yeast being planted in a bag of flour, and it just begins to influence the whole bag of flour. And if this is true, and I believe that it is, then we need to understand that the kingdom of God comes the same way. In other words, get free from this idea you're going to prescribe to God what you want. Begin to embrace the idea that you're coming to God and He's imparting His kingdom, the rule of His kingdom on the inside of you. And the rule of His kingdom says that nothing's impossible with God. The rule of His kingdom says that those healings you want in your body, they're coming. The rule of His kingdom says that those issues that are in your life that are putting pressure to bear upon you, that God is going to break those things free and set you at liberty to where you literally become the kind of person you want to become. Look at somebody and say, I can agree with that. What He didn't say is that the man who sows the seed doesn't understand how it reaches the point of decision. And we don't know how. And He said in the Greek language, He doesn't have a mindset that He understands that process. But He experiences it. He goes through that process. And then He comes to the point of decision. And when He comes to the point of decision, what does He do? He harvests. I'm convinced that we have got it all backwards. We've spouted off some words and then we're waiting for a harvest. Instead of allowing the kingdom just to begin to permeate our lives. We've wanted what we've wanted, and instead of allowing him to come in, and instead of being preoccupied with Jesus, we're preoccupied with his gifts. What consumes our thinking when we hear the word of God being preached is, how could that word apply to me to get what I want? Answer my prayer. And God is saying, I mean, you know, have we been in services where it just seemed like it didn't matter what we wanted? We just wanted more of the presence of the Lord. Ever been in a service like that? We've had them around here periodically. Don't have them enough because we've got too many agendas. We ought to have a box at the door that has agenda trash. Throw your agenda in the box. You can have it when you leave, but before you come in, let's put it in the box. And let's just be open to anything that God has for us. Let's just be open to whatever God is saying to us. Let's just say, Lord, I just, more than anything else, I just want your kingdom in my life. I don't want my special seed harvest for what I've been wanting from you. God, I just want you. And when he shows up, all of it comes with him. And when we leave here, we won't leave disappointed. Because our disappointment is not based on what we wanted and what we didn't get. How many of you ever heard this said? Well, I went to that church and nothing much happened. I've heard people make that crazy statement. And it's, and when we part ways, you know, they go their way and I go mine, I ask myself the question, I wonder if Jesus was there. I wonder if Jesus was there. Well, I mean, you know, I didn't get what I wanted. Was Jesus there? I'll be the first to admit, I get excited when I see God connect with people and things happen. I get excited over that. We all do. It's just the way we're made. You know? But right now, you've probably noticed it on television. There's a few sporting events going on right now. And there's two groups of people there. At least two. They're the ones who support the winning team and those who support the losing team. Now, you do realize the ones who support the losing team walk out of the thing here, I totally wasted my time. I didn't even need to be here because my team lost. Is that the way they think? I don't think so at all. They're disappointed their team lost, but they sure had a good time. And I think sometimes because we don't see happen what we want to happen, we don't hear what we want to hear, we don't experience the blessing we wanted, that we walk out thinking, what was I there for? Big deal. I could have gone to hear Benny Hinn and got a whole lot more out of my service than what got out of that place. Because you know, the only place that God goes to church on the earth today is with Benny Hinn. And Kenneth Copeland and all the biggies. He doesn't show up at little small churches like ours. The only way you get Jesus here is if you show a video of those guys. And we know that's not true. We know Jesus is just as much in this place. You can get as much from Jesus in this place as what you could down at the arena. But in our brains, we think Jesus shows up because the preacher does. I used to love what Billy Graham used to say. He used to say, you know what? People get saved in any place. But we Pentecostals don't believe that. We believe you only get healed when you get the anointed one there. And if you don't have, and really, who anoints the anointed one? The crowds. If you've got a lot of people there, you know he's anointed, or she's anointed. But if you don't have very many people there, no big deal. I'm saying, Lord, help us. Help us to understand that it comes with the kingdom. It doesn't come with our favorite theology. It does come with our favorite ministry gift. It comes with the kingdom. And the kingdom, when people gather in a place of praise and worship, the kingdom of God is there. He's there. The kingdom of God is in this place right now. Not because you're here, but because Jesus is here. Now, we can get so focused on Him and enjoy the moment because of Him and let Him worry about all the stuff we want. Or we can get hung up on all the stuff we want and lose the real gift, who is Jesus Himself. See the difference? I tell you what, if we get more focused on the gift, we'd have a whole lot more of the smaller gifts being blessed in our lives. And we would see a whole lot more people in this place because they'd see how excited we are about going to visit Jesus. Hello? Amen. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, you know each of us, who we are, what's going on in our lives. Father, you know each of us, Lord, what we're dealing with. Father, nothing escapes your attention. You are fully aware, Lord, of every facet of our lives. But, oh God, we need you so badly this morning. We need you literally to release the power of your kingdom. Your kingdom, not ours. And Lord, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord in this place. And I thank you, Father, that you are bringing to pass what your word says, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And you told us in your word that if you will be exalted, you will draw all men unto you, not to us. People don't care about us, Lord, but oh God, they care about you. And they want from you, Lord, the crowds gathered around you, Jesus, as you walked the face of the earth. They didn't gather around the priests. They didn't gather around the rulers. They didn't gather around the doctrine of Moses' law. They gathered around the living Jesus who imparted living truth and living things in their lives. Help us this morning, Jesus. Help us, Lord, I pray, to recognize that you are the only true gift that we should seek for. And if we'll seek for you, Lord, you'll do awesome things. You'll work out things in our life, Father God, that only you can do. So we ask you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us and make your word real. In Jesus' name. Would you come to the piano, please? And I want you to do the last song we did in the worship, I Exalt Thee. I'd like to ask one question. Are you here this morning to say, Pastor, I really need to refocus. I need to get my focus off of what I want. I need to get my focus off of ministers and preachers and this thing in the body of Christ and that thing. And just get my eyes purely on Jesus. Fresh focus on Jesus. Anybody else this morning? Raise your hand if you see that as a part of your life. Thank you. Anybody else? Amen. I think every one of us need that. And I'm challenging you this morning. I'm challenging you from the depth of my heart that His kingdom is here. His kingdom is here, not because we're here, but because He's here. And we gather in His name, and He says He's here. Jesus brought all the kingdom with Him when He came. He didn't come and then bring the kingdom later. The kingdom was with Him. And folks, when Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit and the church was born, the kingdom of God was imparted to people's lives. We have that same kingdom, that same Holy Spirit, that same Spirit, that same relationship with God that they had. And we need to be focused like they were. Their focus was Jesus. Him alone, not the things that he did, but Him alone. And if we're going to see Jesus Christ move in our lives, I believe we need to get our focus back on Him. Would you stand with me this morning? For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. O Thou art exalted far above Oh God, for Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above, O God. Oh, I exalt Thee, Lord, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, oh Lord, oh, I exalt Thee, yes, I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee, O Lord. Yes, I exalt Thee, Lord, I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee, O God. Yes, I exalt Thee. Oh, I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh, Lord. Father, we praise You this morning. Lord, we give You praise and adoration. We thank You that You are an awesome God. You are an awesome God, Lord. You want us to lift up Jesus. Lift Him up more than anything else, oh God. Forgive us, Lord, for lifting up other things, Lord. Our want-tos, our gifts, our personalities, Lord. People we think that are more important than us. Lord, lifting up other places. Lord, may we lift up You. We are in Your place this morning. This is Your place this morning. This is the meeting place with You this morning, Heavenly Father. And God, forgive us for turning it in anything other than that meeting place with You. It's not a dispensing place of gifts. It's not a place for things, Lord, to be handed out. It's a place to meet with You, Heavenly Father. And God, forgive us for not exalting You above all things, Heavenly Father. Forgive us, Lord, for looking for other things instead of looking for You, O God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, would You talk to Him? Father, I need You this morning. I need You this morning, Jesus. I need You more than anything, oh God. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father. Oh, may we worship You this morning, Father, for who You are, not for what You give us. May we bless You this morning, Father, because of the goodness, Lord, that You've poured into our lives. Not because we sought for gifts, but You have sought to bless us. You desire to give us all the things, Lord, that we have searched for. But God, You want us to search for You more than anything. Forgive us, Lord, for being sidetracked, turned aside, distracted, running after things that people think we need. Lord God, may we run after You. Hallelujah. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh Lord, I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh Lord. Hallelujah, Father. I worship You, Lord. I give You praise. I bless Your holy name, Lord. I bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship You, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy, O Lord, you're worthy. Worthy, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, we need you more than anything. God, we need you more than anything. Oh, you came to bring your kingdom, Lord. May we rejoice in your kingdom and not the gifts of the kingdom, Lord. Oh, may we realize that seeking you brings all of the goodness of your kingdom into our lives. But Father, you want our hearts to be focused on you. You want our hearts, Lord God, to be focused on you. I pray that you'd bless this church, bless this group of people, Father. God, may there be a passion for you that we have never known before. May there be just a passion that we run after you more than anything else in life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. No desire we have, no thing that we want can be greater than our passion, our desire for you. In Jesus' name. Help us, Father, to shake free of the distractions that have come to us, Lord. Whether they be through the world, or whether they be through church organizations, structures, things, whatever, Lord. Help us to run after you more than anything else. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Praise God. Well, grab somebody, give them a hug, let them know you're glad they came this morning.